Blog Talk Radio.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see Whoa!
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rings. Ring with the harmony, oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Turn in the time, love has the door to see ya.
Some days the blues will evaporate.
Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's True Urban Legend. The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM, WVON.
Y'all, I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I tell y'all, good morning, good morning, good morning. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a wonderful feeling that everything's going my way. That was something we had to sing every morning when we came in school down south, that everything was going to be all right. What a beautiful morning. And, you know, the cows in the meadows and the sheep's in the corn. You know, so that was really something that we had to start out along with prayer and all those things that stabilize children. Well, we're going to talk about a few things this morning. And I will have one of Langston Hughes' relatives on with me at 7 o'clock for a few minutes to talk to her. His relatives came in to see the Langston Hughes Black Nativity play last night. And they did enjoy it. They had a good time. And those who came enjoyed it. VON hosted us last night. Terry Bishop was on last night. Precious and all of them. I look for Courtney. I guess she's coming another night. That's my engineer, y'all. A lot of the VON family was there. And, of course, you was there. Thank you for supporting the Harold Washington Culture Center. We do need your help. We need your support. And we need your dollars. Thank you so much. Okay, we got several things. I know all of you want to talk about the shooting. I know you want to talk about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but we can talk about it. You know, it's really interesting, I was saying, and God knows my heart goes out to the families of those children. But, you know, we're going to talk about this. We got to talk about the how we look at tragedies in other communities and how we look at them in our community. It's like when something happened in our community, oh, well, we blame our community, we blame the shooter. I mean, we blame the people, we blame the community. You know, we have another kind of way we deal with this stuff. But when tragedies happen in other communities, and don't get me wrong, I have empathy for those parents. We have more empathy than we do in understanding. And we have got to learn how to put that same kind of understanding and empathy toward us. And my question have always been, isn't a black child life worth something? Which goes all the way back to slavery, all the way to Jim Crow, all the way to the way our business and stuff, the way they are right now, all of our businesses, what is it worth? It seems as though everybody else's stuff is worth more than ours. We don't have to deal with that. Why is it that everybody else? We have an understanding about violence in other communities. These people are sick. They're this, they're that. And I don't hear anybody getting on the radio hollering, oh, these so-and-so, do this, do that. You know, they had a shooting where someone shot a cop. You didn't see that face. You saw that face once, and it went away. When they went and snatched and grabbed downtown, they said, oh, they're not those kind of children. What are those kind of children? That went away. When crime happens somewhere, all hell breaks loose. When other little children, something happened to them, they were someone post, now they have to deal with these children post-traumatic. how it's going to be dealing with them. It was talking. I was watching it this morning, last night, the long-range effect of them being involved and seeing that kind of violence. Well, we got to talk about the violence and how it's affecting our children also. Those are the things. You know, when another child is pregnant, mother, those communities hold those children up, whether they're married or not. When our children are pregnant, we condemn the child in the mother's womb. Kind of strange. You know, there is a bomb in Gilead, and good things do come out of our community also. So we have to really deal with what is wrong with our psyche, that everybody else's stuff is better than ours. Or we are more concerned about other folks more than ours. It's like doing slavery or doing Jim Crow when our parents and had to take care of the little white children, and they'd get over there and make sure they eat and make sure those things happen, even though they did try to take care of us. But because of the time, the priority was to get there, to feed them, to make sure their house was clean, to make sure everything was in order for them, because that is the way that they took care of us. When Jim Crow and slavery was going on and the master raped our women and the babies was born, we didn't say they was the master's children. We made the best out of our children. But in our community, what is the psychological stuff of every time the children hear anything, they are put down so bad. And it makes it seem like it's the majority of the children. So I just wanted to put that on your mind. It's the same thing with if a person get a business and it be on the backs of blacks. Because most folks who made it in business were black made it because even Tyler Perry, he didn't have Madea, he wouldn't be Tyler Perry. And if we had not went and marched and fought ABC for Oprah, all of us went down and demanded that Oprah get more than just that 30 minutes AM Chicago, it wouldn't have been Oprah. Jet, everything you name, any of these business bond issues, whatever these folks have, it's because on the backs of black people. But something happens once they make it. They don't understand the importance of their own community. And that is an illness, that if I'm to make it, I got to go hang out and show the white folks I got as much money as they got. And I can spend here and I can go there. And I have the power to bring their children and bring more of them on my show and one of my own. I have the power to emulate them. And when they see our community a certain kind of way, I have to see the community that kind of way also. There's a whole dynamic. So that's why I talk about post-traumatic slavery syndrome. That stuff is real. When they were talking this morning on the radio, on the television before I came here, I saw them talking about the post-trauma stress that's going to be on these children for years to come because they saw the violence and how they got to really work with them. Well, our children is under post-traumatic stress and the violence that goes on. Not only the violence in the homes in terms of guns, but all the things that have gone on with us as a people since we've been here. So let's just put the thing in perspective. My heart aches for those parents. And they say, well, this is supposed to be a safe place. We don't want to have to put guns in. It's not good to have to put guns in the schools or metal detectors. That's not good. Well, if it's not good for one group, it shouldn't be good for another group. Our children live like they're in prison. They walk through. They put them in these uniforms. They look like it. They walk in with the messing up their health by with these pants down. I'm not talking about their pants. I don't want to see their drawers. But because they're messing their bone structure up, the way they're walking, they're going to take us back to the prehistoric days. They've bent over. If you notice, most of our young men now don't walk with their heads up. They're bent over. And our girls showing the crack of their butts, and they're pulling stuff every 5 minutes. So it's really a health problem. So as we look at all of these things, I mean, I just love black people, y'all. I'm sorry. That don't mean I hate anybody else. For the love of black children and the love of our future, when I hear these people, they're worried about destroying their future. We are hastening the destruction of our future. We assume that all of our children are guilty or anything. Right now, they're going to close 200 schools almost in the black community. They said it is because it's underutilized. Do you know that for a fact? Have you done a forensic audit of these schools to see whether or not it is correct? And it's not just in Chicago. It's all over the country in the major cities. And that's why even when we have the business folks, it goes to the elected officials. Like right now, you got this mess going on with the second district. These folks don't want to represent no black folks. They just want to get in office and get a check and hang out with the white folks and show them they're just as good. Because most of our people don't know government. Half of them can't even recite the Constitution of the United States if you ask them. They don't even know, they don't even study the rules and regulations of the city council. When I went in, it was mandatory that you get this book and you read it and know what the rules are and how to do what you have to do. What they do now is go to Burke and all of them, Burke and tell them what to do. So what happened is when we put people in, even with good intentions, and they go in, they're going to do something, make a change, and they just fall in line. They feel powerless. But when you put people in office, their primary responsibility is to represent those who elect them. And even those who don't vote for them, they're responsible for the whole district, the whole ward, the whole senatorial, the whole state, and all of that. But we are so excited to have these people that we really don't make them understand that they are to work for black people. Why don't black elected officials work on behalf of black people? As I said, if they knew better, they would do better. Because they are frightened. They say, if I work for black folks, they're going to come get me. I remember somebody told me, Dorothy, you stop that black stuff, you'll be all right. I was told that over and over again. But they don't tell the Chinese people that. They don't tell the Mexican people that. The age, nobody but us, the Irish. Now, one other thing, violence. The Chinese have way more violence than we do. You just don't see them in court. Did you see that stuff on the paper there, on the front page the other day? And I didn't hear nobody talking about it. They went down in them thousands of passports, illegal passports. And they got driving licenses. And that's what Ryan in jail for? But nobody said anything about that. Did you see all those drugs coming from Mexico in the submarine? They got a submarine. They bring them underwater now. Nobody says anything about that. We talk about the crime, but we don't talk about where is it coming from. And when you hear anybody, whether it's the mayor, the governor, or your elected officials, anybody keep hollering about the crime in our community, those are the communities they want to take control of. And they run you away from it. South Shore, Inglewood, all West Side, don't y'all give up the community. We can't do that. So that's kind of where I wanted to go this morning, is a black child and the black community precious. We got to talk about that. And then at the 7 o'clock hour for a few minutes, I am going to talk to Langston, one of Langston Hughes' relatives, so you can get a chance to see. She came out last night. But, I'm just in another space, y'all. I'm not where everybody else is because I'm in pain because we'll be celebrating Dr. King's birthday next month. And this man gave up his life for us to run around here to get a lot of money playing ball, a lot of money doing this, in business, in this. And it's so vulgar. How much is too much money? When you get the money, what do you do with it? Most black folks don't do with money when they get it. Other races go and build communities. We are afraid that if we build a community, that we'll get something will happen to us. They'll take it away like we're stealing something that's rightfully ours. Okay, y'all, that's where I am today, and I had so much fun at the Langston Hughes Black Nativity. John Ruffin, who directed that show, Jim Lita was executive producer along with the Harold Washington Cultural Center. All that team was just awesome. You only have two more days to see the Langston Hughes Black Nativity. Two more days, and we're getting ready to go into Madam C.J. Walker. You're listening to the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live at www.wvon.com. We are also on iHeartRadio, y'all, so you can listen to us on iHeart. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. You can subscribe to Group Place Facebook, and whenever they type it in, I'll tell y'all how to get on my blog. I can't tell you right this minute, but Ebony always doing something. Ebony put me on a blog, and I'm still trying to find out why she did and how she's doing it. So we'll see. Get your coffee. Get your tea. I'm not going to be gone, but just maybe 2 minutes. Get your coffee because I came in late. My engineer brought, we had a lot of commercials to get out of the way before I came in this morning. So get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back. I'll be back in a minute so you can talk to me. Be right back.
The Talk of Chicago.
Making excuses and save the energy and resources we can.
You just never know what people will need in the future.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and this station.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Wonderful about Langston Hughes' Black Nativity, and that is because those children came there all last week. We had students, because we had Senior Citizen Students Day. That price was $10. Some folks came last night and thought last night was $10. We let a few of them in. But we had those children in there who was mesmerized, who did not move. We had three and four schools in there at one time. They weren't talking about no banging. They were talking to each other because we gave them something to show them that they was black. And they was proud. I tell you. And let me go to the phone. Zakiya, thank you for coming last night.
Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning. Thank you for coming last night.
I am so glad that I came. I almost didn't make it. I've been visiting the sick in the hospital. Started to go home, but I came on. And I'm going to tell you.
And it gave you spirit.
I advise everybody to come and see that play. It was absolutely warm. And I could not hold back the tears. Of course, a lot of us was back there sniffing. I know you heard us.
Each time I see it, I cry as a kid. And I keep seeing it, and I keep crying.
It was the talent of our young people. The other thing that made me feel so good about sitting up in there watching that play, you know, I grew up right there at 4732 South Park, right across from the Regal Theater. Mm-hmm. So it reminds me of the days when I used to go to the Regal Theater and see entertainment, live, beautiful entertainment. And so it's a pleasure to be able to go back and see that kind of entertainment again. So I encourage everybody, go see that play. Absolutely.
Did you know that the young man, one of our starring young men, the one that was supposed to went from bad to good, he just came
out.
He came out the street and said, look, I want to act. Can we come
He's a natural born actor.
Most of them we have trained. We get these children, take them, and they work with John and Theater 47. We also have dance. We have tap. Those children, that their whole life changed when they get up in there because somebody cares.
He's a natural-born actor, and he just had us laughing, and he was so humorous, and he brought life and joy to the audience.
Yeah.
But I just want to say this about the little mass murderer in Connecticut. That was a horrible thing for him to do. But I covered it because my client was all into the TV, and I think it was Channel 2 covered it all day. I noticed while watching that coverage off and on, right away, various ones came in and they started making excuses for
their
child.
So he was sick, he was ill, autism?
Always making excuses. And whenever whites do this, they come right in making excuses, background, family background. He had some kind of disorder. He was this or he was that. Mm-hmm. But you notice when our children kill, they are criminal right away.
Not only do they criminalize our people, we criminalize our people, too. That's what I'm saying.
We got to stop that. Oh, we definitely do it.
We got to stop it. We got to do something. We got to do to our children and our community what you saw in that theater last night. Give some love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? I was just wondering. I said, you know, I hope black people, the ones that always demean and dog out our children all the time, I hope they watch and see how they're protecting this little white child, how they're protecting his character, and how they're making excuses, and see how white folks stand with their children, good or bad.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to tell you something else, and I know
hurry up, my board is lit up. You don't want to wait past
the time. I know some people don't want to hear this, but I notice how the president, he comes out, he cries for white folks.
And they drop the flag.
He cries for white.
He mentioned Chicago.
Something happened in their community, but he doesn't even mention our community. He does nothing
about Chicago
the killing and the crime. He makes me sick.
Thank you,
Jesus. And I'm sorry who don't like it, but I don't like the way he come out for whites and don't come out for blacks.
Thank you, Zakiya. You know, let me go to. Hello, Will.
Good morning, Miss Tillman. Good morning to the Leo Wynn family.
Good morning to you.
The sister before me stole part of my thunder. I noticed how quickly.
Well, just give me some lightning.
The federal branch of government came out when this happened. Miss Tillman, let me say this as a warning, and I know that white people are listening. As a warning to the white people that are listening. I said this when Columbine happened, and I'm going to say it now. Worse than this will happen to you if you don't correct your behavior or correct your fellow race men and what they're doing all over the planet to other people. You notice that this...
Well, I think we can say that about... you can say that about alchemy, you know, when black children are killed, it's just as bad, the same as that. So I got to say that something is happening, not just... That something is happening here with this whole violent thing that's going on. That's, you know, you got wars, you got this, you know, I'm going to have to play that song, War, What Is It Good For? I got to find it. But so you got all of this. So anytime a child is killed, regardless of what color they are, because we had a black child get killed in Connecticut too, but regardless, violence is bad. But
it
I think my point, Will, was that we think other lives are more precious than ours, and that's what bothers me. But I am really hurt about what happened to those children.
Miss Tillman, so was I. Miss Tillman, this was not Saddam Hussein's son that did this killing. It wasn't Muammar Gaddafi's relative. Neither was he related to Ahmadinejad. This was one of their own. And like I said, I warned them. They had better be careful at how they go out into the planet and over the world. They sit by and watch us cry, the mothers and the fathers, the sisters and brothers in the black community crying every day over the mayhem and the violence that is happening in our neighborhoods and say nothing. But I tell them again that worse than this can happen. And you think that maybe worse? Yes, it can. Worse than this can happen to them if they don't stand up and tell their fellow race men, y'all got to stop instigating and allowing and putting this and perpetrating this on other people, because it can reach us too. With that, Ms. Tillman, I said peace and power.
And also to you, let me just say I was told that people will treat your community the way you treat it. And the reason we're able to have folks to walk over our community, to throw trash at our community, to beat up our children, disrespect our women, is also the way we treat our community. The way we treat our community is the way everybody's going to treat it. When they run in there and treat their community with love and respect and say what they demand and what they want, people respect that. We take our community, oh, no, take away. It's just bad. It's this. We do a whole nother thing with how we feel about our community. Oh, look at that old pregnant. Look at that, curse that baby before it come in the world. Don't even know whether he got the power of Jesus or not. I mean, we got a whole nother thing. We get elected and we don't represent our people. We get business and we don't go build our community. So people think that there's something wrong with us that we don't do these kind of things. I tell you, Trudy.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Is this Trudy?
Yes, it is.
You sound different. Good morning.
Good morning. Bless you. Alderman Tillman, I was calling about the school closings. And, you know, we really need those schools. We have the children going all across town, and that's part of where the violence is coming from. And, you know, there are some people who wanted to keep things like they are, you know, like since oil and gas and everything like that, and we have pollution and homelessness and everything. And they miseducated our children on purpose, and there are some, and they know who they are, who helped them to do that. And I'm not just talking about black. I'm talking about the working poor, the working and part of the middle class. But there are some who went along with this to keep
of course. You got to always understand that our community cannot be disrespected and stepped on without the inner community helping them. I always tell folks that the Tuskegee experiment, for those who don't know, that's when they experimented these black men.
It was a black nurse.
For the syphilis was because of the black nurse. This black nurse gave them sugar pills. I don't know whether she really realized what she was doing, but those men trusted her. So, yes, we have to, we just can't say we're going to keep the schools open. What I need, we need to get a forensic audit, and I'm still calling on all those elected officials in those communities to look at these schools and get a real audit of what's going on in these schools, and then we come up with what we got to do here. But don't let Rahm Emanuel tell us they're going to close when they're trying to run us out. Thank you so much, Trudy. We got to do that, y'all. We really do. Janice, how you doing?
Hi, Ms. Tillman. I kind of disagree with you on one thing. The black community, little people, black people like me, I call you all the time.
You can disagree. It's all right.
Immigration. And I look at Bobby Rush, my congressman. I voted for him anyway. But it's just wrong.
Turn your radio down, ma'am.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I was in the kitchen. And we need to look at how they went for this illegal immigration. But there was that woman who's state's attorney, who I didn't vote for either. She sits on there and say it was nothing wrong with them sending those men to jail for 20 years. I haven't heard from Bobby Rush, Danny Davis, Jesse Jackson, or none of them.
Well, I said earlier that the community is treated based off how we treat ourselves.
Yes.
And that's why we have got to, on this show, I try not to down black folks. I'm trying to lift us up so we can do what we got to do here, because we have got to understand that government belongs to the people. It don't belong to just the person you elect.
And, Ms. Tillman, we don't even hear from dissenting voices in the black community. That's another problem, too, because 90% of the blacks are against illegal immigration, but we're not heard.
Well, you know, when you start talking about immigration, it's more than just the Latin. Well, y'all always said Hispanic, y'all be talking about Mexican, but you got a lot of folks that you know, this Asian population that y'all not looking at is very...
No, I agree. And I even...
I tell you, in another election cycle, maybe not this one coming up, that the third ward is going to be represented by Asians. And that's that's because of how this represent this alderman allowed the map to be drawn. The map is drawn in such a way that we're going to lose this ward in another election cycle.
And you saw to it that black men had construction jobs. But when Jesse Jackson Jr., and I hope he gets well, but it's a lot of black men out here that can't feed their families because of that. And we need to call the roll. And that's a problem I have with us. Oh, we got to walk on eggshells when it comes to some people, but other people we can rip apart.
Yeah.
And we can. Now, if that would have been Clarence Thomas, everybody would be against him.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Jackson Jr. went against Howard Brookins. He would have had a listening voice.
Let me just say, I never really talk about him. My heart go out to his mother and his father, but Junior did. Jesse, he did. Junior did. But Junior did in the black community put havoc over the black community. He almost really went in and supported. Yeah, and that might be some of the things that he's repenting for right now.
He's feeling sick about.
Is that he did make some major mistakes in the black community for selfish reasons.
Ms. Tillman. Maybe Clarence Thomas, you know, they say he gives a lot of young black men books and things, and
right.
He takes them to the Supreme Court every Wednesday from the ghetto schools.
Well, let me just say that we tend to get sound bites, and we jump on folks who people tell us to jump on. We don't jump on anything that's good for our community, and that's what we got to do. Jump on this. Jump on black.
Both sides of every story.
That's
because
right, Janice.
If you Jesse Jackson or if you President Obama, and I noticed him crying, I told my sister that. She said the same thing. She supported him.
I think y'all keep forgetting about the president. First of all, he's not the black president of the United States of America. He's the president of the United States of America. And the president's mother was of Irish descent, and his father was from Africa. And he was raised by an Irish grandmother. So certainly he would have empathy like that. So, I mean, listen, I just want y'all to understand. See, sometimes we get carried away.
No. I understand because during the slavery code, you went by the lineage of the mother. I had to tell a white man that. I said, why are you cheering me on about President Obama? He was not my first choice. And the white man looked at me and was crazy. I said,
but I understand also.
I have heroes.
Well,
Paul
Janice,
Robert,
and I got to go.
Marcus Garvey.
Let me,
okay.
I just got to say this to you, Janice. And you can have, I want to say this. And see, one of the things is, the mistake the black community is making is that they thinking that we voted for a black president of the United States of America. The president, Obama, is president of the United States of America. If we understand that, then we will deal with him like the president of the United States of America and take our issues to him. And we get so upset because we have not realized that we too live in America and we have a right to the resources. And that's what we have to do, the way we have to do it. Mansong?
Hey, Hotep, sir.
Hotep to you, too.
Hey, first of all, kudos to Janice for her excellent views and values.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dorothy, I like your on-the-spot creativity with just, well, just give me some lightning. I got that. I like that.
Give me some what?
He said, to Will. He said, the other lady stole his thunder.
Yeah, give me some lightning. Yeah. Well, you
I like
give
that.
Me some lightning.
Well,
you know, I came. Dr. Kingham trained us well. We
now, listen, let me get this in.
Mm-hmm.
It was great hearing that Zakiya and I got something else in common. You know, we both Capricorns, and we both went to Dunbar High
School. I think you're trying to. Zakiya, I think this man is in love with you.
Yeah, you know, she grew up on 47 South Park.
You better go and give her that ring the way you be talking about her.
I grew up at 3707 South Parkway in the real Ida B. Wells on the fourth floor. Now, first of all, Dorothy, the criticism leveled at you is off base. It's not black stuff, but rather black identity, purpose, and direction, and life lessons. See, we be calling things.
Well, I think we all have what we put. Now, you got your way of putting, I put mine, so go on.
Oh, no. I'm saying what they're calling your excellence, you know, ideas, is just stuff. You know, it ain't stuff. It's way more than stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with them. I'm criticizing what they calling you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dr. Karinga and the psychologist, Dr. Bobby Wright, both urge us to get our definitions right. See, that's part of the problem. We be misdefining things.
You know what I'm going to do one day? I'm going to have someone, because of the whole generation of mythicized, the great Bobby Wright.
Exactly.
This man, see, during that time, we had so many black folks putting so many lessons on our people that we're going to have to one day Mansong really do a whole thing about Bobby Wright, because he really was an awesome brother that really put this black thing together psychologically. He coined, mythicized what was happening to him.
Well, I was one of his students at the Community University in the early 70s.
Okay.
Now, that's what I want to talk about in closing. Secondly, you talked about the psychological dynamics of our reality. I, as an intelligence agent for black folks, want to direct your listening audience to two life-saving and small books. They're about 132 pages each, cost about $12, by clinical psychologist and race man who builds on Bobby Wright, the Honorable Dr. Amos Wilson, A-M-O-S, Amos Wilson. Y'all can Google him and go to YouTube and put him in, y'all. He explains why we act like we do. Now, one of those books, very quickly, is a little gold book, 132 pages. It's called The Falsification of African Consciousness. I mean, it's must read.
I have the book.
And then the second one is a companion book. It's green. It's called African-Centric Consciousness, Garveyism in a Global Age. You got to get that book. And so that will help us, you know, deal with changing our reality.
You know what's so interesting, Mansong?
Yes, ma'am.
Back about 10, 20, 15 years ago, Conrad and everybody was talking about African-centered curriculum. And all of a sudden, they've gone away and got quiet. I'm calling on them right now to have a forensic audit of this school stuff that's going on. And let's talk about the African-centered curriculum. This is the time to do it. Mansong, I got to run. I got
to
get up.
Now, I just wanted to let folks know, go Google, if you got computers, Google Dr. Amos Wilson and go
to
YouTube.
They got it. I
got
to go now because I got
okay.
That board lit up. Thank you so much. This board is lit up like I don't know what. I tell you, it is lit up. Fred.
Hello.
Hey, Fred. Hello, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine, my brother. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great. I want to talk about these 350 jobs that Rahm Emanuel supposed to took. These jobs, a lot of people misinformed. They're under the impression that these are city workers. These are not city workers. These are the people that took the jobs in 205 when I was out there. They were laughing at us, telling us how lousy job we were doing. Plus, this company was sued for $3 million for not hiring black people. And I see Rod.
I remember, wait, Fred. I remember fighting on the floor. When
that's
daily,
right. You, Tony Preck,
I fought my butt off daily, got rid of all these black folks.
95%.
And we were fighting. They took the contracts away from the black folks at O'Hare
right.
In Midway.
That's right.
And they
that's
gave
right.
This contract to a Hispanic company to take
that's
over.
This company
I remember now, if they checked the record, because I fought my butt off. So that's why I'm not saying nothing about this.
And I don't understand why people think these
because
are
we do sound bites.
I don't care what happened to these people.
They do sound bites. Daly put them there. Daly found a lot of black folks.
Daly put them in, and I'm glad. That's one thing I'd say Rahm Emanuel did. He did the right thing by getting them out of there because this company does not hire black people. You can count the black
They don't hire black folks. You
they don't hire
right.
black people.
Daly
and
got
that's the margin. These people better wake up. These are not city workers.
Thank you.
They're private
contractors. Thank you, Fred. Look, I remember when Daly fired all them black workers from O'Hare Airport and from Midway. I voted against it, got on the floor, kicked his butt, and they told him how many black folks he was getting rid of. And now, and you know, now, I guess they said a chicken come home to roost. That's all I can say. Ludi.
Hello, Dorothy. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Oh, I came to your play last night.
And I didn't
I'm so
see you,
Ludi.
Did you talk to me?
I don't mingle. I saw you going by, but I am not a mingler.
Well, you should let me see you,
Ludi. I
have
a problem with that.
Did you
I
enjoy
know I used to speak, but, it was terrific. I mean, it was the truest take on the nativity that there is, okay?
Thank you. Thank you.
As a black nativity, because everybody back then was black. We
yes.
were the first people.
You like that Jesus, huh?
Oh, I love that Jesus. That is how Jesus looked.
That's the way he looked. You know what, Louie? The children that we had all last week, we had children from all over, from alternative schools and regular schools. Those children gave Jesus a standing ovation. Those children enjoyed that show. They enjoyed the play so much, and they were there mingling different schools, alternative schools and regular schools from different sides of the community, different sides of our community. They were out there mingling, talking. They was not fighting because we gave them some meaningful.
I'm so glad that you all let the school children come in and see that kind of stuff. That's what they need to keep their self-esteem. To build up black children's self-esteem and keep them, you know, unbroken.
Well, you know, Ludi, the whole goal of the Harold Washington Culture Center is to preserve and protect our culture. And it is to work with those youth. And most of those folks that was on that stage are not professionals. We're working with them. And we got children all over that building all day long.
And that you had plenty of people on that stage. And I was so proud of the fact that all of these people, all these young people and the other older people that are helping them are from the community.
Yes.
That's what I really like about your theater.
Thank you.
And
Invitation to Life is coming next. It'll start. We in production for that now. We in audition and we're rehearsing. And folks who want to get involved, they better call and try to get in there. But we need them to support our Harold Washington Culture Center. We're still in our battle.
Well, you got my support. And
thank
I
you.
Am, and this is how you build up. Young people, like the young people at King High College Prep,
yes,
which my granddaughter went to, and now she's a got a free ride to a black college down in Texas.
Yes.
I am so proud of them and how they stand up to the forces that are trying to change them and shut them down. And
well, they reminded me of myself when I was in high school.
Right.
We were protesting. Luda, the borders lit up. Thank you so much.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. You know, they remind me of myself when I was in high school. We were protesting. Huntington, how you doing?
Good morning, all of Matilda.
Good morning. How you doing, Ms. Huntington?
I am so blessed, and I want to really congratulate Mr. Muhammad and his Urban Prep kids. They were awesome.
Oh, you were there that day when all those students were there. We had different schools there.
Yes.
We had alternative Urban Prep, had everybody there.
Yes, and I want to say to the Caucasian gentleman who would not take his hat
Come
off.
Come on, that ain't necessary. Come on, talk about the children.
No, I want him to understand that he must be a
yeah, but I want to come on with what we're doing here. I ain't got but a few minutes.
A person for our kids.
What
now, those children, those young people who played those roles, they did it perfectly. And I want you to know they that was my second time seeing it, and they were awesome. And
you came to the opening, and you came back, and you were there with the senior citizen and the children, and the seniors and the children enjoyed themselves, did they not?
Absolutely. They were great. The children were very good. And this Miss Melton, who had Robeson High School over there, those young people did. They were just wonderful.
And we had we had alternative schools, too. We had
Prologue
alternative schools.
Yes.
All of their alternative kids who got kicked out of school. We had alternative school children there, and it was really great. Thank you, Ms. Honey.
And I want you to know, I want those people to know that the exposure to culture is what will bring our race together.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ms. Huntington was there with those seniors. Eunice, how you doing this morning?
God bless you, Dorothy.
Hi, Miss Weatherspoon. I thought I had Eunice, Miss Weatherspoon. How you doing? Eunice, Miss Eunice, I'm going to have to get you in a minute on the other side. Yes, God bless you, too.
God bless you. Yeah, we got to continue to pray for our young people. But we need to break this. The way our kids think, we need to spiritual warfare, Dorothy. We got to do spiritual
warfare. Well, Weatherspoon, we doing that. You got to come on over to the Harold Washington and see what we doing. You should have gotten those seniors together to come see this play we do in the Black Nativity. We don't have it 2 more days.
Okay, daughter, you know, like I said, I'm in a wheelchair. Also, I'm in a wheelchair.
We got wheelchair accessibility. I'm sorry you didn't make it before. I really wish you could have seen it, but we'll see what we can do for Invitation to Life, okay?
Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you, too. I tell y'all, this has been really something. I think I get my engineer telling me I ain't got that much time. I think I'm going to play Children Hold On to Your Dream. And you've been listening to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. BlackPlanet.com. We're on Blog Talk. You know, so if you want to listen to us and see us wherever you are in the country, just understand the problem we have here in Chicago is happening to the Black community all over this country. The future of the Black world depends on the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. This is our country. Africa is our continent. Hold on to your dream, children.
Someone cares, someone who's there, rain or shine, sharing your dreams, your heart and your mind.
Go on to your dream. Believe in love, let love be the light to show the way.
Because we'll be right back, y'all. Hold on to your dreams. Talk to your friend. Get your coffee. Get your tea. Be right back.
Straight ahead.
Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Walker at the White House. President Obama has used his media message this morning.
A little something for the people.
And talk about the victim last night that got popped. And who the best on the block with the crack rock? Play a lot of pocket banging to the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not to strike the flow for that rah-rah. But you envision that trip, this isn't my time. The anticipation turns to aggravation. So when words of wisdom spoke, you hear blah blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth he got 9 lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. Those boys whipping in the ghost fire on the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, the solo, no lie, all black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
A time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war.
And watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas.
they scamming for the dough, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them, them yo niggas. I need the source, they either leave or buy. Cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supply. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where I rank on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more love or lust, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talk about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the crack rock.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Schweppes is known as the beverage that settles, yet it's crisp and it's mellow. Schweppes is the coolest drink around, from out the burbs to downtown. Do yourself a favor, pick up Schweppes today at your favorite store, and when you run out, go back and get some more. Schweppes is the official soft drink of the Matt McGill Morning Show. They know how to mix with the best. Schweppes and the Morning Crew are coming to a store near you. Keep listening for our Schweppes tour locations. Refresh.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON. You're listening to Chicago's legendary urban radio station, celebrating 50 years of informing, entertaining, and educating Chicago. And now, the nation on iHeartRadio. We are the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
That's my leader, my teacher, Dr. King, the man who gave it all, the Christ, Dr. King, the Christ, who gave his life for as great a man as he who laid down his life for another man. Dr. King gave it up because he thought that we as a people would pull each other up. We got to go back to it, y'all. It is so good to be back today. It is so good to be black. Have no problem with being black. It is that time, y'all, 7 o'clock hour, wherever you are. I know I got people listening in Brazil. I got people listening in Africa and Canada, Europe. I mean, y'all listening from everywhere. Thank you, my Facebook friends. I'm so sorry I can't. And my Korean friends got to check in again. I haven't heard the team that we have in Korea from the bunkers, the soldiers who listen down over there. But wherever you are in this country, in this city, in this world, it is that time, y'all, Alabama, Mississippi, Florida, Georgia, New York. Come on, y'all. Nevada, I know y'all wake up and hear me. Take that deep breath because you got to be. Once you take this, it's almost like a meditation, feeling good. Inhale and exhale and getting the poison out because you can say, Courtney Ebony, get ready, y'all. Black, 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 black. Oh, God, that feels so good. One more time. Black, 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 black. Oh, that feels so good. If you don't know who you are, you will be anything. So good to be black. So happy to be black. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.wvon.com. We are also on iHeartRadio, y'all. You can listen to us at iHeart. Hey, y'all in the beauty shop and barber shop over there. I know y'all listening. And my West Side folks, hey, hey, hey to my little brothers and stuff on the West Side. To you brothers who get them little brothers over there and put them in the corner, make them listen to me. Thank you so much for listening. But it is just so good to be here. We also on Blog Talk. Dorothy, I think it's Blog Talk. You look for Dorothy, but I don't know. We on Blog Talk. Ebony put me on Blog Talk. She redo these shows on Blog Talk. That's Ms. Ebony. I got to work it all out, but Ebony doing it. Ebony and my son Jimmy, they put me on Blog Talk, whatever that is. So we also on Facebook. You can also join group Facebook. And Ebony got to tell me how y'all going to do that. So let's go back to the phone. Let me just play a little bit more of this song. I'm going to play just a little bit, just a little bit. Did you pause it? Just a little bit, y'all. Then I'm going to come back. Children are our future. Hold on to your dreams. It's Black Children. We've been talking about a lot of stuff today. Is a black child life sacred? Are we still in Dred Scott? That a black man don't have anything that a white man is bound to respect? I am so sorry for those children. The black child got killed too, but I'm sorry for all of the children, but we got to also make our own children sacred. I mean, our children, you know, we got to make sure they're ours. Stop cursing the children in the mama's belly. You don't know what you're cursing. Hey, y'all. We got to make them hold on. That's what the Harold Washington Culture Center is all about. We're making them hold on. Those who have missed it, you got a chance to come out today and tomorrow. Wherever you are in the country, I know y'all listening all over the country. Hold on to your dream, y'all. You can't help nobody else if you can't help yourself. Come on, y'all. Can't fly if you ain't got no dream. We love our children too, all of them. I don't just love my grands, I love yours. All them babies are ours. All they need. Come on, y'all. Love is stronger than hate. Did y'all like that song? Let me go back to the phone, Miss Courtney. Hey. Hey. Well, thank you, y'all. Let me go back to the phone here. Hold on and see your dream. I'm going to bring on about 7:25, 7:30. I'm going to bring on one of the relatives, Langston Hughes. They joined us last night. You know, we have the right to put on the Langston Hughes play, and John Ruffin, the adaptation of the Langston Hughes, was so relevant of today. And I want you to know the Langston Hughes family came out last night. The Hughes Family Interest, Inc. came out. And they were just so happy, so happy. And I'm also going to join Reverend Moss and them on Monday over at Kennedy King. They're doing the Nativity. I'm going to go see theirs Monday. But I tell you, this has been awesome, awesome, awesome. Let me go back to the phone. Let me talk to y'all. I'm trying to make sure I keep it. Oh, by the way, someone called in and said that Reverend Dunlap died, and his body's at Leek. He died on the 20th. He's at Leek. A.R. Dunlap, y'all remember him. He put a lot into the community. So and Leek have the body if you want to get any information. I don't have any information pertaining to that, so you can. Amadou. Did I pronounce it right, Amadou?
Armando.
Armando. How you doing, Armando?
This is Tillman. How are you?
I'm just wonderful.
Good. I listened to you from Sarasota, Florida.
Oh, and thank you. I didn't know you was in Florida. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And last night when they were talking about the school shooting, they had one of the affiliate stations here. They had a psychologist, and it disturbed me because the psychologist was saying, well, you know, the shooter was young and his brain wasn't fully developed.
Right.
And all this. And I said, but when one of our black youth, they don't talk about the situations that young man that's my age or younger
yeah.
might be dealing with at home when they go shoot people, when they terrorize the people in the city. It's just that they're nefarious and they're just evil and we need to lock them up. And they show.
And you know what's so sad about that? The black community join in and sing with the choir.
Yes.
They be singing. That's why I said we got to love our children and hold on to our children, because these folks protect their future like they're doing with the way they're building their communities, the way they're building their schools, the way they protect, the way they run around each other. And we have to do the same thing.
And the other thing I wanted to say real quickly is that, you know, a lot of people on my Facebook were saying, see, this is because we took prayer out of the schools. And I said, no, no, no. First of all, the black church has to get prayer back in the black church and let the black church be the center of the community.
Hey, that's right.
Money from the community.
Yeah, they got to stop what happens to our churches. When Dr. King got shot in the head, most of them went back and went to bed. One thing about the Southern Christian Leadership Conference led by black ministers, the only organization in this country during that era that was totally black, led by black, with a black consciousness for black people, you know, and the preachers was willing to die in the march. These folks not just want a banquet.
And once we get the prayer back in the black church, then the prayer can get back in the home. When the prayer gets in the home, when I was in school, prayer was in school because I was praying all the day. And
come on with
it. I wasn't doing it outside. I wasn't doing it at the flagpole. So those are my thoughts. Thank you, sister.
Thank you so much. It is not just thank you for calling. It's not just that we need prayer back in the school. I'm a praying woman. I understand prayer and understand the power of God because I was raised within that. And I go to Transformation Church. Dr. Andrew Hunt Jr. is our pastor. And I go with him because this man really follows the Dr. King doctrine. But, you know, we have to ministers. I talked about the business people. I talked about elected officials and the ministers. Ron Emanuel, any of these politicians anywhere in this country, these ministers should not be owned by politicians. You're only supposed to be owned by God. You're supposed to do what's right. One other thing before I go back to the phone. I said earlier, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Montgomery Improvement Association, during my time, we had other Marcus Garvey and all of them. But my time, what I grew up in, those organizations was totally black ran. The leadership was black. The staff was black. Folks came in and joined us, but it was by black people, James Bevel and all of them, Dr. King and all the people that was there. What we have now, very few black high-profile organizations that are only ran by black folks. Now, God forbid, I don't have anything against the Urban League, because the Urban League is in our community. But the Urban League is not owned by black people. So they do certain things and get grants and work and do things to help you out and all that. But they're just so far that they're going to go. You got to understand, it was started to do social work in the black community. And that's kind of a social worker attitude that people have now. That's the same attitude that people, our own people have when they make money. They turn us into kind of a social worker attitude. Michelle.
Hey, Ms. Tillman, how are you?
I'm fine, Michelle.
You know, I am so proud that we stood with you and that you have the tenacity to keep the Harold Washington Cultural Center open. It is so valuable. I haven't seen the play. I hope you can hold it over.
No, we can't.
All the way.
We only got 2 days. We might come. We got 2 days. Come on out today.
I'm going to make it through this by hook or crook, but I wanted to comment about this shooting.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Tillman, when it comes to reaping and sowing, I think that God is getting our attention here in America and abroad, because when you look at the technology, the high-level brain waves and frequencies being manipulated all these new gadgets, games, the violence on TV, all these movie producers producing this crap.
They are. These so-called Hollywood folks who talk about the tax the wealthy, and they real wealthy. They are really. It's the same thing with this shooting. You know, you had New York and California that had the rappers making money. And some, I can't say, and we got, now they doing all this stuff because the same folks who was in California and in New York making money off the rappers being violent are those same folks now. That's why they got folks standing with guns at funerals and doing all the other stuff, because it's about the dollar for them.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's not over, Ms. Tillman. God is He has heard our cries. Our children die by that number every week here in
but
Chicago.
But, Michelle, I understand that we are little gods having a human experience.
And it's
but wait, Michelle. I want to tell you something. I want everybody who's hearing me under the sound of my voice. We are little gods having a human experience. God worked through us with his image. So we have to do what we got to do. We got to be out there doing. The attention that God gets you to get is the attention that we get. And what we have to do once we understand, know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Do you know the truth?
Absolutely, Ms. Tillman. And so it's almost as if, looking ahead now, I'm anticipating this to continue. I mean, when the young children.
Well, I'm not.
18.
I'm not. What I'm looking at, Michelle.
Let me finish, Ms.
Michelle,
Tillman.
But that's so dumb, Michelle.
When they hear our politicians fighting and calling the president names. And
Michelle, that ain't where I'm at. Michelle, what? It's not going to continue. I can't speak for other communities. The only way it's going to continue is our community is that we just sit back and don't put love is stronger than hate and begin to work and to build for our community.
I'm talking about our community because our community can't get no worse. I'm talking about this violence, this hatred, this evil that is being spread by people in high places. They're going to reap what they sow. They ought to all be guilty for producing that crap that they got us targeted for us, the drugs that they're running through our cities and through our children to make them do these kind of things just to eat.
The destruction of the black community.
Prison slaves. I mean, you know, Ms. Tillman, I feel sorry for those children.
I gotta go. Hurry
All
up.
Right.
Hurry
Bye
up.
Bye.
Go on and end it. Go on in. She hung up. I was going to let her end it. Love is stronger than hate. Michelle, I was going to let you end your statement. Love is stronger than hate, y'all. Love is stronger than hate. We got to love. We got to love. But you can't love nobody else if you don't love yourself. You must love yourself in order to love anybody else. They did not even talk about sending this man to prison. They finna send him to the psychological psych ward. The man who shot Reagan, psych ward. They're building the prison for black children. Michelle, I understand what you're saying. But love is stronger than hate. And we got to concentrate on the black community and spread out. My heart goes out to those family members. Remember that a black child got shot, too, out there. But it doesn't matter what color that child was. That child didn't deserve to die. But we got to deal with our own children in our own community. You can't love anybody more than you love yourself. Pastor Daniel. Pastor Daniel? Okay, he's gone. Pastor Daniel? Pastor Daniel. Doris. Hello?
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 Yes, Dorothy Tillman.
Yes.
Daniels, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Always a fantastic show.
Thank you.
And yes, I am black and I'm proud.
Black, black, black.
Black, black, black. I don't say it as fast as you, but I can say that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm proud to say it.
So Reverend Dunlap, Reverend Daniel. A.R. Dunlap passed.
Yeah, yeah. I was the one that called your daughter.
Oh, okay.
And told her his body, he died on Thursday. I talked to his daughter, Michelle Dunlap Houghton, and his body will be lying in state at the Leakes Funeral Home on Thursday, December 20th,
okay,
from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 7838 South Cottage Grove.
Mm-hmm.
He passed at a few Methodist churches, Carey Temple Church and Mount Olive on 45th and Evans, and a church out in Argo, Illinois. As you know, he was a pioneer of civil rights. He worked with Vernon Johns. And he's just done a multitude of things. And
yeah, he's done a lot of stuff in this community and around this country.
Oh, yeah, the butternut bread. He bought them the task years ago. And so he's always done his part in his share. And I'm one of his sons of thunder. I will be at that lying in state service for him. And also, we're awaiting the details when they find a location.
Thank you. My heart and prayers go out. Give his family my love, and thank you, my heart. Thank you, Reverend Daniel.
And keep up your good work, Dorothy.
Thank you so much. My heart goes out to the family. I understand when you lose someone during the holidays. I buried my mom a few days before the holidays. Doris, how you doing? Hello, Doris.
Oh, hello. Good morning, my sister, my hero.
Good
my role model. Black,
you.
Black, black.
Black, 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 black.
Good
black,
morning.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let you know that I yet have tears from last night at the show.
Oh, you was at the show?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. And you know what? It's so much I want to elaborate on, but you don't have time. You need a whole another week for me, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
But I just want you to know how much I enjoy you, how much I love you, and we're working with you. We need help with our children in our community as well as out our community, Dorothy.
Right, right.
Yes, we do. How I have an autism son. How can I contact John, the gentleman last night? Was at the play?
You can go on johnruffin.com, I think. And also, 373-1900 is the Harold Washington number. But go on johnruffin.com.
JohnRuffin.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm waiting for Invitation of Life.
It's coming. We were supposed to start the commercial today, but I guess we'll start another day. But it's coming. We're telling folks to buy the gift of theater. If you want to get someone a gift, buy a ticket for them for Invitation of Life. That's a good gift. Thank you, Doris.
That's a marvelous gift. And how much would that ticket be?
We'll go online.
Okay.
They got different nights. We're going to have our senior days. And we're going to have group days like we have field days all the time. And then we got our other ones, 46 all the time. But go online.
Okay. I'll call the center, too.
373-1900.
Okay, sweetie.
Thank
you.
See you
soon.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much. Jeff. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, sister. Honored to speak with you.
How you doing,
just
my brother?
Quick, you and the other sister, you both had a good point. Remember, Brother Malcolm gave the example of the chickens coming home to roost.
I understand that. It had black children over there, a couple of black kids. But when you
certainly.
When you kill children, regardless of what color they are, that's bad. But the thing I'm concerned about is focusing on how we're going to heal our community.
Exactly. But also, too, you made a point. You talked about the SCLC. And also, Malcolm gave an example about how when you have a black organization, if you start adding, others, whites, what have you, to it, it tends to cool off. The mission seems to be directed to, as you end up saying, something like a social, some type of social.
Well, I believe it was started because of a social worker coming to the black community. And I'm not knocking them, but black folks, they'll say, well, what black organization is it? They'll say the Urban League, the NAACP. But they don't, we got the Nation of Islam. We got a lot of other different, but I was talking about the reason SCLC was able to change so many things and do so much and be so committed is because we only answer to black people on the black board. That's what I meant.
True. And also, real quick, I know it's also, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Obama have, isn't that thing, a Hispanic is over the Urban League right now, isn't it?
I don't know who's over it, but I know they work in our community. I don't know who over the Urban League. I know Ben Jealous is with the Urban League. I think he's mixed. I don't know whether he's Hispanic or not. We got Ben Jealous. You got different things, but all I'm trying to say is that when you don't have to dance with saying black versus minority, you can say black. Ooh. But most of our people have been compromised to the fact that they can't say black because they lose their grants and stuff. They got to say,
true.
I am not a minority. I am black.
That's true. And one thing real quick, sister, also, I just want to say this now. Black folks, we've been brainwashed or fixed to loving whites a long time, and it hasn't served us yet. We have to be honest. It hasn't served us well. But as you said, we do have to start today loving ourselves first. So I just want to make that point.
Thank you so much. I'm going to play Charles Bevel in a minute, and I hope everybody get Langston Hughes people on the phone. I don't know whether they own or not. We're going to have them on. We're going to play Charles Bevel, y'all. This is what Charles Bevel said about the children. Children come in this world without season. But every non-religion said that they're precious, and that's what we got to keep. Charles Bevel, James Bevel's little brother.
Yeah.
forever.
How we walked.
Yes.
Reaching for, I know it's how we started.
That's Child Bevel, y'all.
Why do we make no distinction when we don't have any sleep?
Yes.
What each child will dream or how they'll share.
Yes. Black folks.
Just take
fresh air, gift like we don't care. We gotta reach out, y'all.
When we send them out to harvest the fruits of the land. You know we send them out to harvest the fruits of the land.
I tell y'all, come on, y'all. They're our children. We can't send them out. Most folks who want to step on folks, they was worse than the children they're talking about. They said, tear down the CHN. Most of the folks who said tear it down came out of public house. It is really. We come on, y'all. We got to get it together, y'all. I think tonight is Phil Jackson's night. I think it's Phil Jackson's night tonight, y'all. Oh, he's coming out. But we got to, come on, y'all. We got to hold on to our children. Should never eat the grapes of wrath, y'all. They should never eat the grapes of wrath. Not our children. Not our children. Not the grapes of wrath. They come, but we just kick them. I remember when I was fighting for public housing, and I was saying, y'all, we got to save these housing. Black children have a right to come home to a warm place, and let's deal with standards, structure, and what we got to do here. And most of the folks who was getting arrested didn't even live around that, but they kept hollering until they said, walk your children to school. Do this. We just soundbite. That's why I'm glad, I'm so glad that Susan Rice jumped out because they y'all was finna go into the hate thing. I didn't care about folks who don't want to be black. Right now, we got to concentrate on what we got to do. We'd have been spending the next 2 months hollering about Susan Rice and not talking about what we need to be doing. Thank you, Susan, for stepping down. Barbara.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, girl, I am just holding on.
That's
I'm
good.
Looking at our meeting for Sunday, and you know my opening is the silent prayer for all the victims of violence. I mean, it's getting longer and longer. So we have to come together and work on our human rights and reparations. Once we get a healing, I don't think all this disaster will be happening to us. Because, you know, it's happening in Chicago, too. I was watching a film on cable on TAM. And that whole prison system is made to put the men in solitary. So
well, the prison system was made to make sure that whites and other folks make money off of our children because there are contracts. It's contracts in the prison. It's contracts in the schools. It's toilet paper. It's ketchup. It's everything. Everybody's making money off us but us, Barbara. I thank you.
Oh, girl. Well, look, I want to invite your guests out because they always come out to our meetings.
Well,
but
hurry
we're going to be Sunday, we're going to be at Black Star Project on the second floor. It's the elevator building. And, girl, we got the late.
Thank you.
We got Moms Maybe, who was inspired by the late Moms Mabley. She's going to come out and take the stage as the one and only funny one with good, clean comedy.
Thank you. Now, Phil is going to be there tonight. Tonight or tomorrow with the Langston's Black Nativity. Okay, come on out, y'all, and support Barbara. Thank you. Christine. Hello, Christine. Christine gone? Okay. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, who is this?
This is Marjo Rush Collette.
Okay, Marjo.
With the Langston Hughes Family Museum.
Oh, I got you. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I mean, Evelyn did not let. I was looking at you to be somewhere else. Marjo Rush Collette, how you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm so sorry. She had you up high, and I thought you should have been on another number here. I'm fine. Thank you so much for allowing us to get the rights to put on adaptation of the Langston Hughes Black Nativity. Did you enjoy the show last night?
Oh, it was absolutely wonderful.
You think Langston would have been proud?
Everybody needs to see it.
Yes, yes. Well, tell us something about Langston. And I know Jimelita was telling me that you do have a traveling museum, and at some point we're going to bring the museum to the Harold Washington for people to see. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, tell us something about what's going on with the Langston Hughes, you know, because people don't think of these great people who have families and people are carrying on their legacy. We did Madam C.J. Walker. People were kind of shocked. And we have to hold on to what is ours. We have to hold on to our history. So tell us something. What do you want to tell us about Langston and what you're doing with the museum, and how can people contact y'all and things like that?
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because you're absolutely right. People seem to have forgotten about those very people that went before us.
Right.
And I think that if you don't know where you've been, you most certainly don't know where you're going.
That's right.
So people like Langston Hughes and Madam C.J. Walker and people of that caliber, yes, they were great. Yes, they made great strides and great marks in the world. But what people forget is that all of those people had a family.
Right.
They came from a family first, before anything. They had mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins. All of those things came before that fame that they received.
Mm-hmm.
In Langston's case, I truly believe that he is more popular now than he was before he passed.
You know, that happens in the black community. You're only popular when you die. So,
absolutely.
You know, everybody loves you when you die.
You know. And excuse me.
That's all right.
Langston left a legacy.
Yeah.
But people say, when people talk to me, they say, "Oh my goodness, what did you do with all of that money?" And I'm like, there is no money.
Right.
And there was no money.
No.
And what people don't understand, when Langston passed in May of 1967, he had a cash total amount of $300.
Mm-hmm.
$300. But the wealth that he had in his writings and his works were priceless.
Right. Right.
Lincoln University in Pennsylvania had some of his works. Several other colleges and places have his works. And a lot of people ask me, "Oh, don't you own the rights to those works?" No, I don't, because Langston left a will. He had an executor of his will,
mm-hmm.
and they were the ones that were able to disseminate where those things went.
Uh-huh.
We are related to Langston on his father's side,
uh-huh.
and I might add that the Hughes family, originally from Kentucky, came to Indiana before 1854, before the Civil War, because Langston's grandparents, Emily and Elder John Henry Hughes, could live free and be free.
Mm-hmm.
In Indiana. Charlestown is about 11 miles northwest of Louisville. So they had some children in Kentucky, some children, one of which was Langston's father, was born in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
So as the time progressed and things moved forward, you know, people forgot about that. And so many people ask me, "Oh, was Langston born in Harlem? Oh, was he born here?" No, he was born in Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah.
But
have Joplin done anything for him in terms of honoring him down there?
No, neither has Joplin, neither has Lawrence, Kansas, where he grew up as a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in contact with people in Lawrence, Kansas, and a couple of years ago, maybe about 5 years ago, they had a festival. They were going to have their centennial, and I contacted the newspaper, and basically they told me, "Oh, we're not interested." And I get that a lot, and I hate to say it like that,
mm-hmm.
but people don't seem to want to carry on with that legacy. So for me, and I am so glad that I was able to attend the Black Nativity last night. I met a lot of wonderful people. I thank you, and especially your daughters, for opening your arms to us, because we have to, as you mentioned earlier, we have to be able to stick together. We have to know where we came from. So it is my goal to try to take this traveling exhibit to people, because we have over around 175 pieces of family artifacts over 150 years old.
Well, you know, we're going to do it in February. We're going to try to bring it in February so that people can see it and the children can see it.
And that's very important. And I've been places where school-age children, say from about the fifth grade up, mm-hmm. are really able to grasp the importance of the pieces. And when I talk to them about it, they understand. And it doesn't play well with younger children.
Oh, you'd be surprised, because what we do with our young children, we have the teachers to talk about it, and we have the teachers to go into who we'll be saying, who is Langston Hughes? The teacher will really workshop them before they come to Harold Washington. When we had Madam C.J. Walker, you know, had us stuff there, everybody was just shocked and how much the children knew and the questions they asked. So when you come to Harold Washington, they're going to know. We're going to really have prepped them about Langston when they come. So we intend to have you in February. We got to. And
okay.
The school should have you. And we got to do something about this, because you got to control and understand your culture. Other people cannot do that. If you don't know your culture, you act like savages. And that's what we're about at the Harold Washington Culture Center. That's why we fight so hard. Now, Ms. Collette, now the Harlan Renaissance. Now, I understand the Hughes family. Hughes and Madam C.J. Walker, her daughter, was very, very close to Langston Hughes. Am I correct?
Well, let me say this.
And she helped with the Harlan Renaissance. With
Langston was very, he was one of the original members of the Harlan Renaissance.
Right.
And he was very good friends with Madam C.J. Walker's daughter.
Right.
Whose name was Alila.
Yes.
And you know, that's a family name for them. Mm-hmm. She, in turn, adopted a daughter whose name is also Alila.
Mm-hmm.
So when the mother died, Madam C.J. Walker's daughter, Alila, they came to Langston and said, can you write something for us? Can you participate in her funeral? Which he did, and he wrote a poem for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Harlem Renaissance was a very strong period in our history, because it gave people in the arts the opportunity to express themselves through their own voice.
Yeah.
And
black folks had control of that.
Absolutely.
And without anybody watering it down, that's what we're trying to do. But go on, I really like that, Collette.
Right, they do. And, you know, and I find this is very strange to me, and I tell people this all the time. As I travel around the country to different locations, like, for instance, this year in February, we were at Southern University in New Orleans. My friend there, Linda Hill, is the curator of black arts there. And Linda brought us down, and by being at Southern, most of the audience were African Americans. But most of the time, when we go places, the majority of the people that participate, that come out to see us, that want to hear what I have to say, are all Caucasian.
That's because, you know why? And that's what we're about, preserving and protecting. They moved in, took our culture, and moved it away from our community.
Right,
and we intend to bring it back. That's what we got to work on around this country, to be in control. And I know it's the same thing with the blues and the jazz, and Berry Gordy, soul, Motown, so all our other music, they're in charge of all of that. So, I mean, we got to do something. That's what we're about, preserving and protecting and bringing it back, Colette.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Because Caucasian people know more about our history than we do.
Well, of course they do, because they brought us in chains and have always tried to make sure.
And
if we understand who we are, then we will act differently. That's why we're going to proclaim and reclaim it.
Right, and I think what is disheartening to me, a few years ago, say about 4 or 5 years ago, I was asked to come someplace, and this is when we first got started, and the people asked me, well, can you bring the pieces and can you talk to us? And I said yes, and I was just glad to be there. And it was a conference of educators.
Uh-huh.
And I make it very clear, you can't pick up and you can't handle the pieces. You can't. I can't go back to my great grandmother and say, "Hey, Margaret, can I have another one of your hair braids?" Because there's nothing I can do to replace it.
Well, look, Colette, we are running. I got 12 more minutes left here. I got to have you back even when you go out of town. Even when you leave, I'm going to call you back one day and dedicate more time to Langston. And I want to thank you. And are you going to get a chance to come back out and see the play before you leave?
I didn't want to wear my welcome out.
You ain't wearing your welcome. Come on tonight, y'all. I want to meet the Langston Hughes family. Come on out tonight. Doors open at 6. The show is at 7. Thank you so much, Colette. I got Brandon, the grandson of Hughes' relatives, on the phone. I'm going to see what he wants to say. He's the grandson of Hughes' relative who received the royalties that we've been sending. I'm going to talk to Brandon for about a minute. And then come on out, Marjorie. I'll see you tonight.
Okay.
Okay, you and your family.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
God bless you.
And you too.
Okay, thank
right,
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, now, I don't know where she is, so I'm going to try to. Okay, Ebony, would you hang up Marjorie for me because I don't know which line you have her on. Thank you so much. Brandon. How you doing, Brandon?
Yes, this is Brandon, Third Ward, First Precinct. How you doing? My grandmother had died, but my mother and her brother, which is my uncle, received royalties from Langston Hughes Estate. I don't know how much money it was. And my auntie, her name is Vivian Swanigan, and she's 84 years old. She's still alive. She have books. Yeah, she wrapped them in aluminum foil. They real fragile.
She
have autographed books. My grandmother is Langston Hughes' first cousin.
Well, I tell you Brandon, you live in the Third Ward. You should come on, bring your grandmama to the show.
And yeah, she's right down there on 35th. She's 84 years old.
Okay, won't you try to bring her to the show?
I'll try, but she got glaucoma.
Okay.
But she's real healthy, though. She's real healthy.
Brandon. I'm going to have, because we're running out of time, I'm going to have Ebony get your number, and we'll talk to you and probably try to get to see your grandmother.
And I'd love to show you all those books and her pictures that she got.
Okay, I'm going to talk to Marjorie. Marjorie might want to see it, too. So I'll call you. Hold on. Ebony, get his number, because I'm going to try to put them together with Marjorie so that Marjorie can get to them, too. Thank you so much, Brandon. Thank you. Get his number. Okay. Ernest, who is this, Christine? Hello?
No, this is Maurice. This is Maurice.
Okay, Maurice, help. I got like 7 minutes.
Oh, okay. Foz, I like that black situation that you talk about to get us to think about. But when we look at TV, all we see is white. We're going to have to stop looking at white, because they don't see black. So we don't see black. Stop looking at white. We won't see.
I love you, Maurice.
So we got to take that television and this technology in consideration. That's why we forgot about the past, okay? It ain't us. We did nothing wrong with being technologized.
Right.
We got to stop looking at them. You'll think about yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We got to do more. I'm going to come on 30 seconds, Christine.
Hey, this is Ms. Sanberry. This is the lady
Christine Sanberry, yes.
She also on the show you was running and on TV. And I wanted to do the coffee, tea, and me on television. I'm a Can TV producer. And I wanted to do that, like the same coffee, tea, and me, but on TV too.
Well, hold on. Maybe Ebony can get your number. Hold on.
Okay.
Ebony, put on hold so Ebony can get her number. Christine?
Yes. First, I'd like to say I have compassion for the children that got killed. But my question is that I don't understand. Maybe someone can explain to me how the president can come out now publicly and show compassion for their children. And in Chicago, children get killed more often.
Well, we talked about that earlier, and I think I'm going to try to get back into it next week, how we have got to deal with our compassion, our children. We got to do something, Christine, because I'm going to bring it back up next week, too, since I'm running out of time.
Okay.
I know you were listening earlier, that I did address it earlier. Were you listening earlier?
No.
Okay, well, I'll reiterate it next week, okay? Thank you. Anita, 30 seconds. I'm running out of time. How many minutes I got? Anita? Hello, Anita?
Hello?
Yes, Anita, 30 seconds.
Okay.
One minute. I'm going to give you a minute, not 30 seconds. Okay, Anita.
When white children see their parents operating in hypocrisy and turning their heads,
and looking at the results of what other people suffered at their violent hands, some of their children are rebelling out and saying, you're a liar, you're a hypocrite, and they just attack any way they can. They don't want to be smothered.
Well, you can also say, well, what making our children act like that? My thing is...
Yeah, but our children is raised by white culture.
Well, what I'm going to say, Anita, is that those children, those babies getting killed was terrible. I mean, I think it's the worst thing in the world. Some black babies got killed, too. And I think what my concern have always been is that it seemed like their children are more precious than ours. And that's what we got to focus on.
Well, you know I don't believe that because I believe in Elijah Muhammad. All children have a right to their history and what's right.
Right. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Anita. Yes. Hello. Hello.
Hello, and good morning. How you doing?
All right. Got you 30 seconds here. Help me out real quick.
Oh, wow. This message was for someone else. I apologize. It was a wonderful show. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm so sorry that we ran out of time here. I'm just so sorry. I don't know. We had a good time. How much time? Do I have time to play as well? How many minutes I got? I have time to play as well because I'm black. How many minutes I got? Okay. Let me see. Can I get it? Let me see. Okay. All this stuff that's happening, I want to thank Marjorie for coming. I just want to play a little bit of Cia Johnson. This is because I'm black. The reason they treat our children like this. You know, we got to love our children. We got to take care of our history, and we got to take care of our children. We got to love them. Stop cursing babies in their mama's stomach. Don't have so much money that is vulgar that you take it everywhere but black community. Come back and build the community. Black folks got enough money. Come on, y'all. Y'all made it off of black. Let's come on back and rebuild black community. That's what I like about Cia Johnson. He live in the community. He put his money here.
That splash against my hollow bone.
Somehow or another, we feel like we have to be hard on ourselves.
That rocks my soul.
They think it's all right for a black child to be in violence. I had to play
Cia. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew. Wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city. Yeah, oh Lord.
Go to Fletcher Record, y'all, and get that record. Coop Corner.
Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny. Something is holding me back.
Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm black?
Because I'm
I tell y'all, black is beautiful. We got to understand. Some got to push us forward. Black, 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 black. BJ, 30 seconds, and we got to go on out of here. It's time for me to get up out of here, BJ.
Can you hear me, Dorothy?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I got 30 seconds. Got to get up out of here. Stop calling
Dorothy,
so late.
Dorothy, listen, we are getting more beautiful each time I see you, going to God. Hey, listen, I saw you down at the senior breakfast, and the last time I saw you, I was going out with Mr. Cornelius Johnson, okay? And you know, you told me to reach out to help and bless him as Mama T's brother. I went out to his house yesterday because he was answering his phone. Come to find out, he went in the VA hospital the day before.
Okay,
listen,
BJ.
People like...
BJ?
We got to reach out to help our elders.
You got to wake up and...
People make that happen.
BJ, got to wake up and hear me early. Now, we got to go now. For those who want to see the Black Nativity, Langston Hughes, we have two more days left. We got today. Doors open at 6, show is at 7. Sunday, doors open at 4, show is at 5. For information, call 773-373-1900. Thank you so much. This has been Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman, on the top of Chicago 1690, right here in Chicago, Illinois, reparations now.
about a rebroadcast of the show on Dorothy Coleman group page, on the Martin Luther King Republican page, or on Jimmy Lee's blog talk radio. We're on Monday through Wednesday for political talk on Thursday. Music all around the world. Thank you for tuning in. I guess we'll see you next Saturday for the Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy listeners, or Monday for the Jim Lee Underground show. Thank you. Good night. And may your God be with you always.